this goes. Today is February 13th, 2013. I'd like to dedicate the shiur today, as some of the other shiurim, in memory of Rabbi Chesky Weiss's father, Reb Gur Aryeh Weiss, who was really a very special, a prince of a man, and was very much part of the Kohl family. So we feel his loss, and it should be a schus for his neshama.
Amen.
We've been discussing the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, and that was mitzvah number 6. Mitzvah number 7 we've been discussing was the mitzvah of not eating the Korban Pesach when it was raw, and eating it specifically when it is roasted. So the Torah gives us two markers, two extremes to avoid. One is not to be cooked, and one is not to be eaten raw. It should be in the middle, it should be roasted. And we had several ideas. The last one that we were talking about was that the fact that water, you shouldn't eat it bushel mavushel bamoyim. We're on page 15 here, column number 3. But just to refresh your memory, we had discussed some issues on some ideas on page number 14, is that this, the idea of roasting is that it should go quickly, that people shouldn't linger, and that it should show our position at the time when we ate it. We were in the frame of mind of being ready to jump out at any moment, because that was a reflection of the salvation of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that it happened in such a way where we were just ready to jump out. And the other idea was the idea of the chinuch, that it's the way of kings to eat roasted meat. It's tastier, etc. So on page 15, on the third column, we have the Sefer Noyam HaMitzvahs, the pleasantness and the sweetness of the mitzvahs. And the first idea we mentioned is that water is representative of, in some ways, of taiva, of self-indulgence. And the point is that it should not be eaten in a way that one is specifically indulging themselves. This is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to eat. And as we mentioned, there's the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom are such, he gives us mitzvahs to do in our daily lives, that we have the opportunity, the same action. Rishayim themselves could do that very same action and it could cause them downfall, whereas a tzaddik can choose, just by how he approaches the mitzvah, could choose to do the mitzvah in a way where it becomes the greatest medal of honor, the greatest badge of honor for him. And that's the pasuk, Yisharim Darchei Hashem, the ways of the Rabbeinu Shalom are straightforward, Tzadikim Yelchubam, the Tzadikim will grow from them, they'll go in that path, and the Rishayim will have a downfall. And then we mentioned in closing that is the purpose why in this mitzvah we have this very unique idea of making a proclamation, Va'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. You shall make a proclamation that this is a Pesach for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Why? Because again, the point is that you have an action that you're doing, that it's up to you to direct it in one direction or the other. It's up to you to decide how you're going to approach this mitzvah, whether it will be a building block or chas v'shalom, something to stumble on. And if we look here at number 5, this is the third column on page 15, if you, again, for those who are here for the first time, the source sheets are only there as an added bonus. It's not necessarily that you have to follow inside in order to. So if you ever lose the place or you're not comfortable reading, that's also fine. So we have this concept of choosing to do the mitzvah in such a way, and that's what David HaMelech himself said in Tehillim. Let's see if we have a Tehillim here. I believe we do. In Tehillim Kuf Yutes, David HaMelech says a beautiful thing. And it's something really that should be used. And of course we know that the Psukim of Tehillim Kuf Yutes, which is the one chapter 119, which is the longest chapter in Tehillim, all the psukim follow the letters of the Aleph Beis, a section for each letter. And David HaMelech says the following, Chishavti derachai v'ashiva raglai el edoy secha. Chishavti means machshava, I paid attention. But it means I directed derachai my ways, v'ashiva raglai el edoy secha, I directed my feet towards your edus, towards your mitzvahs. So what he's saying is, in explanation of this pasuk, is that by way of thinking, by way of directing one's mind towards the mitzvahs, one walks. You see, we'll say here, drachai, he's translating, those are the words that are underlined. Gam drachai means, drachai literally means my ways, means my personal ways, my personal needs in this world, the way I conduct myself for my own personal needs in this world, even that, tzarchei gufi, the things that are necessary for my own personal body. Asisi gam kein davar chashuv yakar. I was able to transform them, even the seemingly mundane things in this world, eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever it might be, you can take the mundane and transform them into something that is a mitzvah and something holy by way of what? Ashiva raglai eleidei secha. Because I directed them towards, when a person, pardon the expression, uses the facilities, what does he have in mind when he uses the facilities? There's so many things that you can do to make it into a very constructive experience, aside from just a nuisance. Well, some people would view it as a nuisance. To say Asher Yotzar. I just met somebody outside of the in the hallway, and I said, "How are you?" And he said, "Wonderful." After you say the bracha of Asher Yotzar, how could you not be? How could you not feel wonderful? How many people suffer from ailments? Millions and millions of people that suffer from ailments of the digestive system, and to think of the brilliance of the digestive system, and to think of, so you can turn that just reflecting on that, on what's really going on. And how you can then use the relief, use the whatever it might be that you gain from that experience, anything, you go to sleep. Why do you sleep? What do you sleep for? You wake up refreshed. For what purpose? Ah, my mind is clear. I'm in a better mood. I'm relaxed. I feel better. I have energy. So when you go to sleep, we mentioned that book, right? We have a copy upstairs, by the way. Rabbi Schwartz's father wrote a book, Air Miles to Heaven. Just... change your approach. Change your intention when you do go to sleep. And all you have to do is think, I'm going to sleep now so that when I wake up, I'll have more energy to serve Hashem. You've transformed that otherwise mundane activity of sleeping. I mean, you think about it. You know how much time we spend in our lives sleeping? Some more than others. But if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's a third of your life you're spending sleeping. Pretty remarkable, isn't it? What's the purpose of sleeping? So David HaMelech said, it's not just to regain your strength. David HaMelech said, Be'erev yolin bechi v'labay kerina. In the evening I go to sleep, bechi, I'm down, I'm dragged down, v'labay ker, and in the morning, rina, I'm exuberant, right? Why? You're refreshed. So many things to appreciate. So sleep has a... Now, how do you approach sleep if you approach it in such a way? You've transformed it into something beautiful, into something holy. Okay. Now, a person has to be very careful that whenever they indulge in physical pleasures, and by the way, just because eating or sleeping or whatever it gives you pleasure doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it. The Rebbe Shlom does it for you for a reason, that you should enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy it. I remember when I was in yeshiva, There was the great mashgiach, Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So he was speaking, he was a big balmusser. So he was speaking about a fellow that he learned in yeshiva with. The fellow told him that he had a roommate. The roommate, he said, was a big baltaiva. He was into gashmias, he was into indulging. So one day the guy, he's thinking to himself, sleeping is so pleasurable, but what about sleeping is pleasurable? If you think about it, it's just a strange thing. Before you go to sleep, you're exhausted. After you wake up, it's over. And during the sleep, you're not even aware of what's going on. So what about sleep is truly the pleasurable experience? So he concluded, after much thought, he concluded that the pleasure of sleeping is, ready, falling asleep. That was his conclusion. So he asked his roommate a favor. He says, if in fact the most pleasurable part about sleeping is falling asleep, so do me a favor. As soon as you see that I've fallen asleep, wake me up so I can fall asleep again. But the point is, Hashem makes food taste good. Hashem makes food. You can enjoy it. Of course you can enjoy it. But don't enjoy it just for the sake of yourself. Enjoy it so that you have, then, you have variety, you have things that are tasty, etc. Enjoy it so that you could have greater energy and greater strength to serve the Rabbi Nishlim. He says, and that's what he says, if you look in the fourth column, number six, Achu davar kaved lebli lis'arev ma'at gam machsheves hanos aguf. It's very difficult not to have some thought also mixed in that it should be for yourself. You certainly can enjoy it, but don't have in mind that it's for yourself. And then he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk in Rashi, that's number nine there. It says, "Bayom hashmini atzeres tiyalochem." The pasuk tells us that this, the eighth day of Sukkot, this is a special yomtiv called Shmini Atzeres. Why is it called Atzeres? What does Atzira mean? To be oitzer, right? To hold back, to refrain, right? Upirish Rashi zal. Atzru atzmechem. Hold yourself back. What does Rashi mean? Hold yourself back. So he says like this, beautiful thing. He says, the rest of the days of the Yom Tov, you're doing mundane things, you're enjoying yourself, you're drinking, eating, you're drinking, etc. But where are you doing it? In the sukkah. You do it in the sukkah, everybody understands that it's for the Rabbeinu Shalom. I mean, even yourself, you have a reminder that it's for the Rabbeinu Shalom. But come Shmini Atzeres, there's no more sukkah. In fact, the Medrash, the Chazal say that. There's no lulav, there's no sukkah, there's no other things other than the Rabbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. So now I'm sitting down to eat a meal. Now I'm in a greater danger that I might forget that it's for the purpose of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So that's what it says, Atzru Atzmechem, hold yourself back. Meaning your personal inclinations, your personal interests, hold those back. And to the contrary, have in mind that it should be specifically for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Actually, that was number seven, not number nine there. Okay. Number eight, he says, the other thing is, the other lesson that the Neim HaMitzvah points out is that the mitzvah not to eat it raw means not, is half-baked, is, the lesson is to that the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom should be done to its completion, to the fullest degree. Just the other day, someone gave me a ride, and I said, leave me off here. Leave me off here, I'll walk home. He says, no. My father always taught me, you give someone a ride, you do a mitzvah, do it all the way. Bring him straight to the door, door-to-door service. You do the mitzvahs of the Rabbeinu Shalom to the greatest degree of perfection that you can attain. And that's the lesson of Al Teichu Mimenu No. Don't eat the Karban Pesach while it's raw. Now, we did mention this several times before, and that is that this was a very, very important time for Klal Yisrael, because they were going through a transition, me'avdus l'cheirus, from servitude to freedom. So there were a lot of lessons there that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to teach us that were crucial to entering this new realm, this new world, the world of freedom. And this is a perfect example, right? How to focus on the actions even in the mundane world, and as well how to do a mitzvah to its completion. Those are very, very important lessons that were very important for us at that time specifically to learn. Now, I did notice a couple of other very interesting ideas. Once we're talking about the reason behind the mitzvah to eat it roasted, there's a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says like this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Hi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema used to say, Adam Arishain, Mesev Began Eden Haya. Adam Arishain was sitting in Gan Eden, and what was he doing? Hayu malachei ashareis tzaylin leibosar. They were roasting meat for him. And that really falls in line with the chinuch that we saw, that it was a way of chayrus, a way of freedom, a way of royalty, aristocracy, to eat roasted meat. The malachim were roasting meat and he was eating them. It was a full service restaurant. Even better than Citron and Rose.
No.
Yeah, they're roasting things all the time, but we get the smoke from that to remind us. But think about that for a minute. If that symbolized the existence of other Marishan in Gan Eden, now there's a whole discussion in the Gemara because the Gemara is discussing an issue of whether meat was permitted for other Marishan to be eaten, etc. And the Gemara ends up concluding that it was Yoyred Min HaShemayim, it came down from Shemayim. Sounds like Gan Eden is here somewhere in this world, right? The buzzer came down. Okay. Whatever the discussion is there is not relevant to this immediately right now. But at least the idea that Adam Rishon was sitting in Gan Eden and Chazal tell us about Losid Lavay, about when Mashiach comes, that it will be the same way. We'll have complete food. We'll grow on trees. Imagine you get what's for lunch today? Hoagies. What do we have special for the Rosh Chodesh lunch?
Hoagies.
Oh. Imagine you got a complete hoagie with all the dressings and all the toppings that you would usually order, all fresh, growing from a tree. A cake, a cream cake, growing from a tree. Whatever you want is there. That kind of thing is exactly the lesson. Now again, they were on the threshold of going out into Cheres. Hashem is saying, you're going out now into Cheres. You're going to go through an existence of 40 years. Well, it wasn't, wasn't decided yet or wasn't told to them yet that it would be 40 years. But you're going into an existence. They would have mun. They would have everything taken care of. Chazal tell us that their clothing were washed and it grew with them and all that kind of thing. It means they were living such a spiritual existence that all their material needs were taken care of. The Rebbe Hashem is saying, if you deserve it, you'll have it just like Adam Arishan. And so he commanded them to roast it as if to say, you're now going to be having your first mitzvah. This is the first mitzvah of eating. As a Jewish nation, I want you to keep in mind that if you do the right things, you conduct yourself in the right way, these things will be taken care of. And you'll sit like kings with royalty and all your needs will be taken care of. That's a tremendous lesson. Tremendous lesson. We know that the Gemara says in Brachas, there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. This is one of the more famous Gemaras, right? The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, "V'asafto deganecha," we say it in Kriya Shema, that you will gather your grain, you'll do all the work in the field. Rabbi Shmuel says, even though it's true that you have to learn Torah, but hanag bohem minig derecheretz, you have to also earn a living, you got to go out there and work, etc. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, is it possible for a person to be involved? Famous words. He does all the different stages, all the different malachas that are needed in order to work the field and to provide himself with food. Is it possible for a person to be involved in all that? Then Torah Matahe Olel. What's going to be with Torah? Is it possible to do all that and also be learning Torah? It's impossible. So what does the Gemara say? What does the Shem Bar Yochai say? Ela bizman sheYisrael isim ritzayna shel makayim. At the time that Klal Yisrael does what they're supposed to, then melachta nasas al yedei acherim. Then your work will be done for you. I mean, look at it today. You could buy who knows what in the supermarket. The truth is, you don't even have to go to the supermarket. You can actually have it delivered, right? Provided you have enough money to cover the extra cost, right? So he brings down psukim that v'ro tzaynachem that other people will do your work for you. Ubizman shein yisrael isim tzaynach shel makayim. And if you're not doing the will of other people, malachta nasas al yedei atzman, then you have to do the work yourself, like it says about safta de ganecha, etc. Right? And the Gemara ends off by saying the famous words, har be'asuk Rabbi Shmuel v'also be'adon. Many people try to do it like Rabbi Shmuel, meaning they got to do a little bit of everything. You got to earn a living together with your Torah. And Hamanmi did it like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but I also be other didn't work. But you see from here the concept. And by the way, there's a famous Chavetz Chaim, Bir Halacha, that speaks about this, and he speaks about, I mean, we have We have the concept of kolim, people that should be earning a living, going out into the world, becoming professionals, etc., and often they're quite capable of doing that, and yet they're sitting and learning Torah. So the famous Bir Halacha in Simin Kuf Nun Vav, and he says that certain yechidim, that certain people that are cut out for it, are able to sit. The Gemara is not telling us that people should not sit and learn Torah a whole day. Those that are cut out for it, those that could learn properly and dedicate their day, etc., for the sake of Klal Yisrael, are certainly able to do so. Even Rabbi Shmuel would agree to that, that that's necessary, it's crucial, because if not, Torah will never have an existence, never have a continuity, if we don't have people and certain people that are dedicated a whole day to studying. Just as an aside here, just for political purposes, I'll mention that the members of the Philadelphia Community Kol, as many of the community kolim, do more teaching, more hours of teaching in any given day, I would bet, than a lot of the other people who are labeled teachers. So even if you're not so happy with the fact they wouldn't be necessarily referred to as the people who are dedicated one. There are kolim in many cities that the balabatim get together and they hire people. Asara batlonim, we have it in Megillah. They hire people simply to learn a whole day, not necessarily with the community, not to teach the community. That's not, we do part of that, we do part of teaching, but the concept, the idea that it's that if we would do the right thing, the Gemara is telling us many people did it like Rav Shimon bar Yochai and they didn't succeed, that's the fact, the world that we live in, but conceptually, if we would be able to do everything that the Rav Shimon wants us to do in the right way, he'll have the work done for us. He will have the work done for us. And I know from experience, I've heard this from many people, even as a bacher in yeshiva or as a younger man, things come up. You have things to take care of for the family, for whatever it might be. And, I mean, even just things that come up recurringly every year, you know, you got to take care of the taxes. You got to take care of, enrolling your children in school. There's so many different things that you need to do that some could be viewed as a nuisance, but are essential in order for everyday life that no one can escape, right? The fact is that if you dedicate yourself properly, those that are sitting in kolel, those that are learning, if you dedicate yourself properly and you're serious about your learning and you're truly dedicated without wasting time, you'll find that the Rebbe Shem will allow many of those things that are usually necessary to be done in either more easily or to be done by others, etc. So this is a concept that I think was very, very important for Klal Yisrael in general, and especially they're going into, as we know, the existence of Klal Yisrael at that time in the Midbar, in the desert. We had everything taken care of. All we needed to do was be involved in the spiritual, in the Torah and other spiritual pursuits. So the lesson is glaring. The lesson is extremely important. So it's just something I've never seen before, is that was the lesson of the roasted meat. If you're looking for the symbolism in the roasted meat referred to Adam HaRishon, and Adam HaRishon was sitting in Gan Eden, his existence was, everything was taken care of for you. You could have it. That's what the Rebbe was saying. You're going out now. You could have it. You could have it just like Adam HaRishon, and you could be back to the days of Gan Eden if you so choose. A couple of other things I want to mention before we move on to the next mitzvah. The next mitzvah that we'll be doing will be the mitzvah of not leaving over for the next day. No, sir, not leaving over for the next day. A lot of fascinating things about that. But there is a medrash. The medrash says, and Rashi quotes some of this medrash, the medrash says that whatever Avram Avinu did for the Malachim at the time that they came to visit him, in whichever way he did that chesed, he was paid back years later where his descendants received those same chasadim in the same way. For instance, he said, Yukach no ma'at mayim. What does no mean? Please, yeah? So he said, please take some water. So in exchange for that, the Rebbe Hashem says, Ani etein lebonecha mitzvas Pesach. I'll give you the mitzvah of Pesach. Because Avram Avinu went out and did the chesed of providing water for these malachim on a day which was terribly, terribly hot, and he was in his third day of his milah, etc. to overcome all that, specifically for the mitzvah of chesed, and he offered them water. So in that schus, he got the mitzvah of Pesach. Where is the connection to the mitzvah of Pesach? So the Medrash says, because it says, Al teichlu mimenu na, don't eat it raw. Na means raw. From yukach na ma'at mayim, please, I beseech you, take some water. For the word na, they got the mitzvah of Pesach, at which it also says na meaning raw. Now, I give you a challenge to everybody here today to come up with some sort of explanation, interpretation of that medrash. Because he offered water and he used the word num, which means please, so Hashem gave the mitzvah Pesach, which is al teichlu mimenu na is raw. I don't have an explanation. If you do, I'm more than willing to hear you, please, and we can then share it with the Olam. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll meet next time. What time are we supposed to be done? Like 12:30, right?
I mean, they're homophones, okay. But
they have a meaning. That's the problem. Right. So what's the pshat in that? Okay, Shkoyach.